Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Major League Baseball for Tuesday, April 30th. Your recap here. For sure, these were included in the weekly recap, so the numbers are new, but you just go back and recapping the most recent day as of the time of this recording, which is here late afternoon on Monday. Nothing to report yet. That was of Monday, so we're going to cover Tuesday games, not knowing how Monday goes. I think it's kind of a reminder. We talk about baseball is very unique with bullpens. And even if I knew exactly who was going to be used on Monday, we still don't know who's going to be used on Tuesday. And that kind of throws a wrench into things. We have a little bit better of an idea. But as I mentioned before, if you're new here, I haven't really coded in that availability into the model just yet. Maybe one day we'll be able to do that. But for now, we're kind of treating bullpens as everyone's available, which isn't always the case. That's kind of that caveat. I think it's part of the reason why the first fives have done really well. And if you're interested in those first five picks, all of those are on Dub Club today. We're just going to be talking about full game threshold to get to that eight grade, category. Which are the picks that overall have been the strongest historically in all of the models here that we've established, college basketball, NFL, college football, and Major League Baseball. So again, all sorts of extra stuff beyond that over on Dub Club at QR code right there, or the link in the show description will get you that 10-day free trial to start out. Check it out if you have not yet. Of course, Discord chat group as well, where we have a lot of fun, a lot of people looking out for each other, giving people advice, helping people out, asking questions. And of course, where you can chat with me if you're interested to learn more as a professor, as someone who's done a lot of research into a lot of these things, published papers in these areas. I have a lot of information, a lot of knowledge that I like to share with people. That's part of why became a professor. I like to help people. So join us over on Discord and, ask some questions. They're always good things to discuss and learn and help us all become a little bit smarter in betting. And of course, in this season, mostly on baseball. Some reminders here, if you're looking for information about the model, the community rules, pickswiththeprofessor.com/new. Get that for you. The weather is subject to change. We're more than 24 hours away from any of these games happening. So, of course, those updates come on Dub Club. And I'll mention through here which ones where if the wind moves a little bit, it kind of might matter more if that's applicable. We are projecting an average game. No idea what will happen in one game. Nobody knows. Anybody telling you otherwise is lying to you. We do not know what will happen in one game. Sometimes weird things happen. Sometimes it plays out just like normal, and we're not really concerned about either one of them. What we're concerned about is when we say 55%, do we actually win 11 out of 20 times? Because if that's true, and that's what the model has helped us do, and why the model can help us be profitable, because when we say 55% and we win 11 out of 20 times, we know the price that we need to bet for it to be long-term profitable. We are not trying to win every single bet that we make. While that would be awesome, that's very unrealistic. And if you're watching this show, I have to assume that you are aware of that. And so knowing that we're going to lose some games, we have to make sure that we're playing the right prices. The right prices will help us win more when we win, lose less when we lose. That's why I always talk about shopping around, but it's also just knowing what price you're looking for, because shopping around can only help you so much because sometimes prices aren't available. So knowing it's a pass or it's a play, where it's a play, that's what we're talking about here on this show with regards to the A grade thresholds. That's the number that I'm looking for in order to really feel confident in the pick. Not to say it will win, but to say that the price is right for it to be a long-term profitable pick. And in the long run, it'll add up. That's what we've shown here all along. If you've been with us for any time, you're well aware of that. But as always, take what you like and leave the rest. If you'd like the show, we do appreciate that. Helps the people find us. So we like it when you like it. Starting off here, no day games here. Back-to-back days on Monday or Tuesday. Kind of sad. Missed opportunities here, but alas. Yankees and New Orleans, it will be a fairly hitter-friendly night here. Not quite to May yet, but it's going to feel a little bit like it in Baltimore. Mid-80s to start, around 80 degrees to close. So a fairly warm night, especially for April here. Wind looking to start off blowing out, maybe shifting across by the end of the game, around 10 miles an hour. I wanted to kind of check in because it could matter a little bit. If it stays more out the entire game, if it's more across the entire game, that could shift your projected total up or down, maybe a quarter of a run. But the biggest thing is we're talking about one of the warmer days we've had so far this season for any game, especially a night game here in the 80s in Baltimore, is going to make this park play fairly neutral, a park that's normally a pitcher-friendly ballpark since they've changed the left field dimensions. Nestor Cortes and Dean Kremer. Cortes has been very respectable this year, 350 ERA, and the advanced metrics align pretty well with that. A solid pitcher, not, you know, the best pitcher in baseball, but not, you know, terrible either. Dean Kremer, for the Orioles, you know, a step behind in ERA, a step behind in FIP. His XFIP's actually hanging in there. And that's kind of one of the things, you know, it depends on which eye you close. Some people are more FIP people. Some people are more XFIP people. Some people are more expected ERA people. Some people are more Sierra, right? There's a lot of different metrics you can use. And none of them are perfect. They all have their advantages and disadvantages. I kind of like to look a little bit of all of them because in general, I think overall they can paint a nice picture for us. And that's where the model says that Cortes is the better pitcher, but maybe not by a ton. And in fact, if you use XFIP for this year only, and we're only talking, you know, 30, 40 innings, so it's not like it's the, you know, the biggest sample size in the world. But if you use XFIP just this year, you'd actually say Kremer's the better pitcher. But if you used FIP, you'd say Cortes is much better. So the model's kind of splitting the difference here and saying Cortes is better, but maybe not by quite as much as just the ERAs would indicate. Offensively, the model still has the Yankees better than the Orioles, but as I talked about yesterday, you could kind of argue the other way around. The Orioles' offense has looked great so far. Bullpen-wise, not really in love with either bullpen, both of them losing some key guys from last year. You'll notice real quick, one last thing too, going forward today, the rankings for the starting pitchers are now out of 152. We have removed the injured pitchers from the ranking. So you will now see only the pitchers who are active and in the rotations for now. So just in case, you'll see a little bit of a difference in the rankings of starting pitchers. Model says Yankees by win this 53% of the time should be slight favorites against slightly better starting pitcher. According to the model, slightly better offense outdoes the home field edge for Baltimore. Right now, the Yankees are at minus 105 or 5 cents away from an A grade. This one, I think, is going to be one where we are going to be looking either at the first five market or really wanting to see how the bullpen usage goes. Specifically, there are a handful of series in baseball, and this is kind of turning into one of them, where the bullpen usage is really going to matter. These teams tend to manage these games, these divisional games, where you know that it's two of the top teams right now, maybe the top two teams in the AL East, you know, or what might be at the end of the year, you know, the top two teams, I think in the standings they are, but they also think that might be the case at the end of the year, not just an early season thing, right? Manage these games like they're playoff games, like they really matter. Now, what you do in April, probably a little bit less so than in August, but you just sometimes see some of these bigger series, you know, you see a little bit, you know, even early season Astros Rangers, same sort of thing. You know, Dodgers Padres, you see the same sort of thing where these teams are kind of really trying to win. They might use their bullpen a little bit more aggressively. I think how Monday night's bullpen usage goes could affect Tuesday. How Monday and Tuesday's goes could affect Wednesday. So it's something to keep an eye on here. If one team, you know, is ahead by a couple of runs, uses all their arms, especially if they do it back-to-back days, the other team is behind and doesn't, that sets up for a little bit of a different game as the series cascades along. So something to keep in mind. It's also why we like the first five, because we don't have to stress about that. We just have to map out the starting pitchers, and again, the model does a really good job of doing that. I know some of you maybe not aren't convinced about my expertise and my credentials, but you know, it's gotten us pretty good results here grading these starting pitchers out. So lean Yankees because Cortes is the slightly better pitcher according to the model. They should be favored, not a pick'em. Is the price good enough? We'll see. Right now, not quite there. Maybe the first five market matters. If nothing else, we are going to want to see about the bullpens before we lock in a play here. Rockies and the Marlins, 6:40 p.m. First pitch, Ryan Feltner and Roderick Munoz. At this point is what we are projecting for Miami. That's what FanGraphs says. The Marlins, goodness gracious, you know, losing starting pitchers every time we turn around. Rotation was just in shambles at the start of the season. AJ Puck goes down. They decide to move him back to the bullpen anyway. Probably a smart move. Now Lizardo goes down. You know, they're just, they get Cabrera back, but you know, they're one step forward, two steps back, it seems like. Munoz has made All-Star already. Depending on how you look at it, you can make it out to be a little bit better or worse. Decent prospect coming up, respectable numbers in years past. I think he'll be okay. His FIP was a little bit high in that first start. His XFIP was really low, though. I think he'll be very respectable against the Rockies on the road. You have to think he'll have success because, you know, almost everybody does when the Rockies are on the road, even if they're playing in Mexico City, which is really hard to believe. Ryan Feltner for the Rockies might be their best pitcher at a 107 grade. 100 is average, and higher is always more runs. So higher is worse for starting pitchers. Does have a 5.60 ADRA. That's obviously inflated by Coors. When you look at XFIP, which is probably more of what you want to look at with regards to Coors because it normalizes for home run rate, a 3.79 XFIP, that's a little bit more projectable going forward. Not a terrible pitcher here, and someone who should have success against the Marlins offense. I'm not expecting a lot of runs here because neither one of these offenses are that great, but I still think the Marlins should be decent favorites. Anytime the Rockies are on the road, you love to fade them. No line out there as of right now because we don't know who's starting for Miami. If it changes from someone else, of course, we'll have updates on Dub Club. Maybe we'll be playing this full game. Maybe we're playing first five. Who knows? Hard to say until we get a starting pitcher confirmed and a line out. But if it is Munoz or even a bullpen type game, you have to think the Marlins will be decent favorites here or should be decent favorites here, especially given just how as tough as the Marlins have been this season, as much as they've struggled, Rockies in the road, hard to find too much worse than that, especially with how their offense looked this season. Cardinals and the Tigers, mid-60s to start, around 60 degrees to close. Wind will be blowing out at 5 to 10 miles an hour. That wind, maybe even up to 15 to start, that wind will kind of offset with the temperature. But of note, and this is going to matter for your first five versus your full game protection with regards to the total number of runs, warmer to start, wind blowing out stronger to start, you expect a lot fewer runs as the days as the game goes along. It might play actually slightly hitter-friendly at the start. Not overly hitter-friendly in a park like this, but maybe at least neutral or closer to hitter-friendly. But by the time this game winds down, as the temperature is dropping almost 10 degrees, the wind starts to die down, offsetting some of that help to the hitters, it's going to play a lot more pitcher-friendly. So expecting more runs early based off of just the weather. That's not considering the pitching. The pitching itself, Kyle Gibson and Jack Flaherty. Gibson, 4.35 ERA. FIP is about a run higher. XFIP's a little bit higher. Nothing special. Flaherty, 4.91 ERA. He's an interesting case. His underlying metrics look really good this year. So we've got Flaherty as the better pitcher. The question is by how much. Gibson's always been a guy who can eat innings, but it's just been fairly mediocre. But when you look under the hood with Flaherty, you have to be relatively impressed with what he's done this season. Cardinals with the bullpen edge. Cardinals with the bats edge, game in Detroit, all that turns out to be about a coin toss model. So it's 51% of the time the Tigers win, and that the they should be barely favored. They're favored by a lot in this game. I think it's interesting because the model does agree that Flaherty is the better pitcher, but there is a little bit of disagreements here between the model and the market. I'm not sure exactly where it is, whether it's the fact that the market maybe thinks the Tigers offense is closer to the Cardinals offense or that their bullpen is closer, but the strength of the Cardinals bullpen, their offense being decent, they've got a shot to win this game. At the current price, it's probably worth a look. It's not quite to that A-grade threshold right now, and that's, again, what we're holding out for on the full game. Might be a little more aggressive and play a B-grade on the first five if that would be available. None of the first five markets are right now, so can't talk on that at this point. But again, all the first five, all the updates over on Dub Club might be invested. It's kind of like Cardinals are passed based off of the price right now, assuming it doesn't change much. Not to say I think the Cardinals are overly likely to win this game, as much as I'm saying at decent plus odds, anything can happen in here. There's a lot of things that point to both teams, and that up in the air type contest makes good plus odds pretty valuable. Royals and the Blue Jays, chilly night in Toronto, about 50 degrees, upper 40s. So closing the roof there is what we're assuming. Two pitchers who you have to be really pleased with, Cole Reagans and Jose Berríos. Reagans, underlying metrics, even better than his 3.90 ERA. So far, so good. I talked about him from the start of the season that I wasn't ready to give him the Cy Young yet, needed to see more from him. So far, I think he's been maybe even better than I would have expected. We just said we wanted to hold off. We didn't want to, anoint him, king just yet with a limited sample size. But a 2.25 FIP, XFIP in the low 30s, but no complaints at all with him whatsoever. You have to be really pleased. His grades going the right direction. You have to be like I said, very pleased. If you're a Royals fan, I think his, so far you want a little more length from him. And that's one of the things keeping his grade down, is that part of the grade up, because lower is better for starting pitchers, down in the negative sense of the word. Part of the grade is how deep you're projected to go. And that matters, because the deeper you're projected to go, if you're going deep, that means things are going well for you. That means you get to use one less reliever, and you're always saving yourself from throwing the weakest reliever in a game that you're ahead. So that matters. So for only 5 innings per start for him, one of those games was a rain delay type game, but I think he got 5 that game. So even then, still 5 for the other ones, right? That's kind of the concern. Berríos averaging a full inning more per start, which helps. But overall, while his ERA is really shiny, again, I'll probably try to say it every episode here, especially if you're a new person, and remind us of our principles here. Again, I don't know if I need to go through my credentials on this, but you'll have to trust me when I say this, and we've talked about it a lot, that earned runs are not the best indicator of how good a pitcher is. There are flaws with it. It's not like the worst thing in the world, but it's not the most predictive thing we have, because it attributes all of certain things to the pitcher and none of certain things to the pitcher. When in reality, there are certain plays that's true, and there are certain plays where that's not. And that's why we have some underlying metrics to help us do better, that hold up to the test of time prediction-wise better than ERA would. So shiny ERA, advanced metrics for Berríos, though, put him more in the 4 type range than the 123 range. And obviously you look at that 123 ERA and you would say that's not sustainable. But I'm here to say it's not just that it's not sustainable, it's that the way he's pitched hasn't been bad. It's just maybe not been quite as good as that. Berríos is a guy we backed a lot last year, because I believe it was 2 years ago, it was the exact opposite story. He had a crazy high ERA and everyone was talking about how terrible it was. But as the season went on, we're looking under the hood and we're saying, actually, his underlying metrics are okay. He's not that bad. He's been getting unlucky. Sure enough, what happened right after that? He started pitching better. People priced him like he was terrible. We made a ton of money backing him. Now it's kind of the flip side of that. He's getting a little bit lucky. The in-between is kind of the reality. He's not as bad as he was in those bads. He's not as good as this. He's still a good pitcher, not great. So the analysis here on the starting pitcher, Reagan's the better pitcher. You probably already thought that. Just don't get fooled by the fact that Berríos' ERA is 2.5 runs per 9 lower. That's not really the most predictive measure that we have here. Bullpen-wise, I'm still floored at the Royals' bullpen. It'll take me a while to get used to this. Grades out so well. Offensively, the Blue Jays will have the edge. Of course, the game begin in Toronto helps them to a 55% win percentage. Right now, this is priced really well. The models that should be 120 minus 124 for the Blue Jays, plus 124 for the Royals. You can't even get either one of those prices right now. It's actually worse on both teams. So a game that's priced really, really well. Projected number of runs in this one, 8.1. I'd be happy to go under in this game. If we were to get under 9, I'm not sure we're going to get that, because of, you know, the fact that people like these offenses. So, you know, again, a boy can dream, but haven't seen any total markets out there yet. Would only be going over if we go 7. And generally, when we see a number like 8, we kind of say over 7, under 9, if we can get either one of those. Otherwise, so the total probably pretty priced pretty well too. Maybe a first 5 market offers or something, but otherwise, not a lot to think is good to attack from a betting standpoint in this game as of right now. Cubs and the Mets around 50 degrees for this one. We're going to be blowing in at about 10 miles an hour, folks. This game is going to be very, very pitcher friendly. Really pitcher friendly park, chilly night, wind blowing in. Runs are going to be hard to come by. Now, they can still happen from walks, you know, hit parades, balls just falling in play. But home runs are going to be hard to happen, and you see a lot of innings that die if you can't get extra base hits, home runs, and those are going to be really hard. Extra base hits are going to turn into outs. Home runs are going to turn into doubles, and if you're leading, you know, you get a walk and a double, maybe you leave two on, right? So it's going to be a tough night to score runs. Amir Asad and Sean Manaea. Asad has looked really good in his five outings with a 2 ERA. Underlying metrics say probably not that good, but nothing to complain about. A good pitcher. Manaea has been really good for all but, I think, one start this season. And on a night like this, again, should have some success because of the weather in the park helping him out. XFIP a little bit too high, and that's kind of the reason why the model's holding on to that more average grade. But again, Manaea has been another story, as I mentioned, with Berríos, a guy who last year at the end of the season was a guy you wanted to back. And how did we know to back him? It was because his FIP and his XFIP were really low. His ERA was high. And we were saying, you know what? He's actually not as bad as this. It's been some bad luck. He's going to be, if he keeps doing this, he'll be fine going forward. Sure enough, he was, and he was a guy that was great to back at the back end of last season. As scary as that was for us, he's carried that into this season. So two pitchers you have to like, you have to think they'll have a lot of success. Neither one of these offenses gives me, you know, a ton of fear. Projected total this one, 6.9. If I could get under 7.5, I would be on that for sure. Even 7, would it be the craziest thing? But under 7.5 in this one, I just don't think there'd be any runs whatsoever. So could be looking at an under spot here. With regards to the side, the model says the Mets win this 56% of the time. And at least as of right now, yet another game that is priced on the side really well. Maybe we'll differ with that in the first five market. As you can see, there is a big difference between these two bullpens. And so that could create a situation where the first five offers us some edge, or maybe the market's accounting for that. And the first five probabilities differ a lot from the full game probability. That's what happens here in this model because of that, because we assume that the biggest part of the Mets' edge is coming at the end of the game. And that's where they really get their big chunk of win percentage from. So something to keep in mind there. I don't know if the market will adjust for that or not. And so that's all right. Again, we'll see what the first side markets look like in the morning. Giants and the Red Sox, chilly night here, mid-40s wind. Looking to be blowing in is going to really offset the hitter-friendly nature of Fenway to the maximum extent it really can. As I've mentioned before, Fenway is a park that has really high variance with regards to totals. And why is that? It's because no foul ground, basically. Weird dimensions in right field, weird dimensions in center field or down the line in right field. And then, of course, the Green Monster. You can just have runs happen or not happen in that park in very different ways than just about every other ballpark in the country, plus Canada. So going to be pitcher friendly, but again, weird things can happen in that park. So just kind of keep that in mind. Logan Webb and Cooper Criswell, similar ERAs, but the underlying metrics for Criswell point to him being more average. And of course, we have historical data on him pointing towards being average, whereas Logan Webb, according to Sideline, the best healthy pitcher in baseball, has looked fantastic this season. 2.33 ERA, FIP in the upper twos, XFIP in the low threes. His projection is what helps him get his grade. His projected numbers going forward and his projected number of innings is actually higher than both his FIP and his XFIP. So his underlying metrics are actually better than we think he will be going forward. That's how good he's done so far. That's how good of a pitcher he is. There could be concerns about home road with a guy like this. I think simply that is the case because because really good pitchers who also pitch in pitcher-friendly ballparks sometimes have otherworldly numbers at home and more pedestrian numbers on the road. That's because at home they're set up for that sort of success. But the thing is they're, of course, you know, playing against the other team who's in that same sort of low run scoring environment. When they go on the road, his numbers won't look as good because he's not playing in as much of a pitcher-friendly ballpark. In this case, a very hitter-friendly ballpark, again, with the asterisk on maybe the weather, but so was his opponent, Cooper Criswell, right? If this game was in San Francisco, I would say Webb might not allow a run. Criswell's probably going to have a good outing too. You expect a lower scoring game. In Fenway, you say Webb might get, you know, give up a few runs, but you'd expect Criswell to as well. So it's like a tide, right? It kind of raises and lowers everybody. So I'm not really worried about the home road splits. His home numbers should be better given the park that he's in. And that's why we look to things like the underlying metrics, where XFIP is much more stadium controlled, and it has still been a fantastic season for him. Still expect really good things from him. Otherwise, it's a pretty even contest. These bullpens are pretty similar. These offenses are pretty similar. It's really all about the starting pitcher discrepancy. Maybe that makes the first five more advantageous, maybe not. Again, that's why we have a model that handles both of them. We'll see if that's the case in the morning. But as long as you're at minus 128 or better on the Giants, that would get you to that A grade threshold. Twins and White Sox, running out of room here on the line for the starting pitcher for the Twins with Simeon Woods Richardson against Mike Soroka. Simeon Woods Richardson has pitched really well so far in his two starts. 2.45 ERA, xFIP below two, or should be FIP below two, xFIP in the low threes. Decent enough prospect. Not sure he's, ace material at this point, but potentially could be, a number two, number three middle of the rotation, middle top of the rotation type guy. You have to be pleased with him if you're a Twins fan. Soroka, on the other hand, for the White Sox, folks, it ain't good. 6.83 ERA, and we talk about ERA, maybe not the best metric. Why is that? It's not that ERA is useless. It's that anything in ERA can be found somewhere else and more, so we don't actually need ERA. But what that means sometimes is that ERA is actually lines up fine, right? It's not like it's not misleading at all. Sometimes it can be. Folks, Soroka's ERA is not misleading. It ain't good. There's really nothing else to say about that. The Twins will have an edge at starting pitcher. They'll have an edge, of course, on offense. They'll have an edge with the bullpen. Top five bullpen for the Twins. White Sox have the worst bullpen in baseball, according to Sideline. Folks, this game could get ugly. You're in the A grade threshold for the Twins right now, which would be minus 175. I'm not locking this in as an A grade right now. No run line markets are out yet. This is probably more of a play I like on the minus one, just to take a little bit of bite out of the odds. But it's a great case, great candidate for a money line parlay type pick. The White Sox have been a team that has been a good fade for the most part here in the month of April. Wasn't, of course, against the Rays. But coming back here on Tuesday now, I think we've overreacted a little bit, and the Twins should be bigger favorites than they are. The model says they win this two out of three times. This is all Twins. You can figure out how to play it, whether it's money line by itself, money line parlay, run line, the minus one market, whatever angle it is. Unless this number shifts a ton, you have to think the Twins make a lot of sense here, especially if that money line price is starting with a one. Otherwise, we'll be in the upper 50s to start, mid 50s to close. We're going to be blowing in, going to make it a pretty pitcher friendly night. That can only go so far in helping the White Sox pitchers, but it's going to make it really hard, I think, for the White Sox to score runs with that offense against a pitcher like Simeon Woods Richardson and the Twins bullpen. You can't see the White Sox putting up many if an average game does occur. Raising the Brewers, mid-50s in Milwaukee, maybe even down into the upper 40s, so we're projecting the roof to be closed on this one. Tyler Alexander for the Rays, Freddie Peralta for the Brewers. No line out on this one as of right now because we have not confirmed Tyler Alexander has not been confirmed for the Rays. That's who Fangraphs has going, so that's who we've plugged in here. If that is the starting pitcher matchup, it is a big mismatch. Peralta's really good. ERA, FIP, and xFIP all in the low threes. Alexander, on the other hand, more upper fours, lower fives. Big mismatch there. The Brewers bullpen, which was looking great, just got shellacked so bad against the Yankees that they fell from a top five to almost towards the middle of the pack here, bullpen-wise. Offensively, I'm going to say the Rays offense is better, but I'm going to say the same thing about this one that I said about it Monday. If you watch for that, and who knows how Monday's game played out at this point, I'm going to say about Tuesday's game, I'm probably going to say about Wednesday's game too. I don't know if they're playing four or not yet. I haven't looked that far ahead, but I mean, I just don't have a lot of faith in either one of these offenses at this point. The Brewers offense has been pretty rough here the last couple of weeks. The Rays offense, I don't know what that was against Chicago and all those terrible pitchers who they couldn't score runs off of. They didn't even have to face Crochet and couldn't score runs, it seemed like. So an offense that's just been a big letdown. And again, an offense that's very right-handed heavy. So going up against Peralta, you have to think that's not going to go well. That's not the type of pitcher you want to see to try to get things back on track, is what I should say. Again, assuming it is Alexander for the Rays, the model says the Brewers win this almost two out of three times, and that they should be priced here in the minus 175 or minus 180, ranging in the A grade thresholds there you can see on screen. But until we have a starting pitcher confirmed, couldn't even make a pick on this anyway. Nats and the Rangers, We are looking at Mackenzie Gore and John Gray for this one. 8 o'clock starts. No line is out as of yet. I'm not exactly sure why. It does look like both of these pitchers have been confirmed. And so we at least feel like we can talk with a little bit more confidence about this pitching matchup. Mackenzie Gore, I mentioned it last time, I think we might be in the midst of seeing the Mackenzie Gore breakout season that we've been kind of expecting as a guy who's been a highly touted prospect. Everything's coming together for him. The ERA is not a mirage. His FIP's actually a little bit lower. XFIP just slightly higher. His projection continues to come down. His grade continues to get better and better. Really have to be pleased with what you've seen there. Jonathan Gray, I think, struggled his first start, but he's looking pretty good as well. Nothing in that ERA or underlying metrics is a concern there. Both of these guys have actually done better this season than their grades. So if you think that's going to continue, the projected total, your projected total should actually be a little bit lower than the model, because these guys have done great so far this season. And the model is saying maybe they won't do that well going forward because we have historical data on them that matters. But so far, so good for both of these pitchers. Bullpen-wise, the Rangers bullpen maybe starting to look a little bit better here offensively. In that middle of the pack, definitely better than the Nats at home. They should be big favorites. They are favored here, or they will be favored whenever a line comes out. Questions by how much. Model says they went almost 2 out of 3 times here, 63%. Again, the A grade thresholds there on screen for that one. Guardians and the Astros could open the roof in Houston if they decided to. Should be mid-70s for this one, a nice night. Carlos Carrasco and Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown with a 100 grade is surprising. To say the least, but my goodness, he has been just an enigma this season. I don't really, as an Astros fan, watching him every time he pitches, it's just whiplash trying to figure out what exactly you're getting from him. He started off struggle, then he had that outing against the Braves, and I talked about that either here on show or in the notes to our people on Dub Club. I can't remember which one, but like, I wasn't really that impressed with that Braves outing. I think he got kind of lucky. You saw that with a 90% left on base. People were hitting the ball hard. And then he plays the Nats, and I was like really down on him going into that game, thinking I don't really see anything impressive. And this is where we talk about runs allowed maybe isn't the best indicator. He gave up 3 earned runs, but the exit velocity on the balls hit off of him was almost 10 miles an hour lower than the previous 4 starts. He got kind of unlucky with the left on base stuff. He got kind of unlucky with batting average on balls in play, but he had a season high in strikeouts. FIP and his XFIP were fantastic for his last start. So this is again where if you're just looking at something like ERA, you can be fooled. And I think Hunter Brown is like the prime example of that. Now, what does that mean in one start going forward? You never know. Sometimes guys have good nights or bad nights. But as an Astros fan, as a guy who I was high on Hunter Brown coming into the season, I thought last year he was good, then faded because he wasn't built up to throw that many innings. I'm not saying he wasn't in good shape, but just it's a different workload, right? He talked about working that. I was high on coming into the season. Was really disappointed. That last start, he gave up some runs to the Nats, but I actually think that was his best start of the season. I really like what I saw there. It didn't turn out to result on that game, but maybe it will here against the Guardians. Hard to say. This Guardians offense has done really well this season, overperforming our expectations for sure. How good are they? We'll find out if they can continue it. Part of that is a guy like Josh Naylor who continues to look good. Jose Ramirez, obviously one of the best hitters in baseball. Do they have the depth to keep it up all season? That's a question to be had. But if nothing else, we do expect the Astros to score some runs against Carlos Carrasco. A 4.63 ERA is about the best thing you could say about him. His FIPs in the low 5s, his XFIPs in the high 4s. We don't project great things from him. Now, the good news for him, and the model knows this, and I talk about this all the time, the model is not thinking that the Guardians are going to try to push Carrasco. If they only get 4 innings out of him, that's fine because they've got a really good bullpen with a lot of depth, and that's to their advantage. Now, asterisk, that's their advantage on Tuesday with a rested pen because they didn't play on Monday. With the full series ahead, will that then play into how the games play out Wednesday, Thursday, right? Who knows? But that is at least the silver lining for the Guardians of this game is that while their starting pitcher is not good, they don't need him to be good. They just need him to survive two times through the lineup. That might be difficult against this Astros team. Model says the Astros win this 61% of the time. A-grade price on them is minus 139. So this, man, we've been all over the map with Hunter Brown. I'm encouraged what I saw last start. I think the market is a little bit overreacting to the starts of these two teams. I know that the Guardians are 19-9 and the Astros are 9-19. There are really good reasons to think that going forward, the Astros are still the better team. They are still the better offense. They still have the better starting pitcher. They don't have the better bullpen. And that's obviously a concern. Maybe the first five for the Astros makes more sense because then you don't have to worry about the bullpen edge the Guardians have. Something to keep in mind. But I think the market's overreacting to Hunter Brown's struggles. I think he might have turned a corner. I really like what I saw from that last start. I do think he's probably – he's a young guy who we do expect to get better once things start clicking. And I think the market's just overreacting to everything we've seen. And the price in the Astros is good. We faded the Astros, I believe, six straight games 2 weeks ago. I think we won five of the six. And I made the comment last week when they played the Cubs. I think we were still fading a couple of times there. I said, hey, the time is going to come when we want to back the Astros because the price is too good not to. I don't know when it's going to be. Sure enough, we backed them both times this weekend in Mexico City and got two winners there. And I think we're still in that time. Now, then the Astros are going to start winning some games, and then we're going to have to come back off it, right? But it's all about reacting to what the real probability of whatever's happening is happening versus what the market says. And the market, for a while, thought the Astros were really good. We were like, hey, they're not. Let's fade them. Now the market's saying the Astros are terrible. Look, I know they're 9-19. They are still the better team in this one. The chance the Guardians have here, really, is Carrasco holds up and the bullpen wins it for them late. That is possible, but this price should be a little bit higher given the game location, given everything we know about it. And again, I feel like at least after what I saw last time, I'm okay backing Hunter Brown. Hopefully that doesn't bite me in the butt. But backing the Astros here, as long as the price stays in the minus 130s, makes a lot of sense. Phillies and the Angels, chilly night in Anaheim, about 60 degrees. Wind will be blowing out about 10 miles an hour, so could offset the cold conditions a little bit. Still might play slightly pitcher-friendly, though. Spencer Turnbull and Tyler Anderson. I'm telling you, when Tyler Alexander and Tyler Anderson pitch on the same day, my brain just can't handle it, folks. Both of these guys have ERAs in the ones. That is incredible. But when you look under the hood, it is a drastically different story. Spencer Turnbull is a guy I've been high on all season, been talking about him. I think really good things. This Phillies rotation is incredibly good. Model's not high on their offense, but my goodness, the relievers, number six in baseball, starting pitching overall might be number one, especially when you see the injuries other teams have had that they have been able to avoid. Incredible set of starting pitchers. Spencer Turnbull is no different. Underlying metrics on him, FIP and XFIP, both in the low threes. What he's doing, he won't continue to have that 133 ERA all season, but FIP and XFIP stabilize really quickly. And if this guy has an ERA in the mid to low threes for the season, that would not surprise me at all. That would be a fantastic pickup for the Phillies, whose rotation just looks insanely good. Tyler Anderson, on the other hand, while his results with regards to wins have been good, when you look under the hood, FIP near five, XFIP over five, have massive concerns about him going forward. And I do not think things are going to go well for him unless he changes something. He's pitched in the league long enough. I don't really think he's going to change. I think he's a subpar pitcher. I think the Phillies have a massive starting pitching edge. They have a massive edge at the bullpen. The Angels offense might be a little bit better, but we still have the Phillies winning this 58% of the time. The A-grade threshold for the minus 123. We're about 8 cents away from that, but at this point, it's Phillies or pass. I mentioned for Monday's game, when you might like the Angels, if you're going to do it, you got to do it first. I say the same thing here. If you're going to play the Angels, you almost got to do it first five to avoid that bullpen. But here, it's kind of Phillies all the way. There's really no way, angle I can see to play the Angels unless we end up with a price that is just out of this world. I don't see that happening based off where the market is right now. So right now it's looking like Phillies or pass. Is the price good enough? Maybe you play a minus one, maybe you play a first five. A lot of different angles to look at. Not a slam dunk because we are not to that A-grade threshold yet, but keep an eye out, shopping around, looking around. If you can get into the low minus 120s, that's where the model says you've got fantastic value on the Phillies. And again, just a reminder, if you don't have an account yet, BetUS is a place to be, add to your repertoire, to shop around. They usually have pretty good baseball prices. And if you have them in your portfolio, every time you can save a nickel, save a dime. That's more money when you win. That's less money than you lose. Link in the show description will sign you up and get you a 125% bonus on your first ever three deposits. They're still doing that offer. Again, I don't know how long it'll last, so if you haven't done it yet, sign up today.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Carrying on with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, 9:40 p.m. Eastern. First pitch. Oof. Maybe open, maybe close. I don't know what they're going to do for this one. Low 80s to start, upper 70s to close. Could go either way. Something to keep an eye on in that park because it can play a little bit different with the roof open or closed based off if the AC's running or not. And this is definitely a tweener game. Landon Knack and Jordan Montgomery. Knack's been pretty good his first two starts. When you look under the hood, it's a little bit concerning, but he's got a good enough pedigree from his minor league numbers that overall I still think he'll be okay. And of course, the sky's the limit for a young guy like this. He could turn out to be much better. It's just, you know, he's going to have to grow and improve and whatnot. But so far coming up, very reasonable. Jordan Montgomery is a guy I love. 2.08 ERA this season. Underlying metrics for FIP and XFIP both in the threes. Really good starting pitcher. There's really nothing else to say. He's a guy who's been underrated his whole career. I've talked about him last year, the year before, et cetera, that he's a guy you love to back because he's always undervalued. Offensively, of course, the Dodgers have an edge. Relievers, Dodgers have an edge there too. The place where the Diamondbacks get their edge is the fact that, of course, they're home and, of course, Jordan Montgomery. And that's where we've got a 52% chance for the Diamondbacks to win. Model says they should be slight favorites. The Dodgers are slight favorites right now. So right now, it'd be leaning Diamondbacks. We're not quite to that A-grade threshold at the moment, but plus 103 or better gets you to an A grade. Again, maybe a first five market makes a lot of sense as well. But definitely kind of Diamondbacks are pass on this one, especially if you're looking at a first five market, because I don't have anything against Landon Knack. I just think that Jordan Montgomery is a really good pitcher. And of course, the asterisk on this as a lefty for Montgomery, the Dodgers are very left-handed heavy. And so that kind of nullifies some of their offensive awesomeness because the Dodgers are such a left-handed heavy team. Reds and the Padres, upper 50s for this one. When we blowing out, kind of make it play like a normal night in San Diego. So still pitcher friendly, but it won't be a game where we expect, you know, no runs here. We're projecting about 8 runs in this one, partially because neither starting pitcher is great. Partially because again, when blowing out will kind of make it, you know, not too terribly pitcher friendly. Nick Martinez and Johnny Brito, no line available. We have not confirmed if it's Brito. The Padres looking for a fill-in pitcher. He's just the guy that's, you know, on the roster at the moment who can be stretched out, can go 4 or 5 innings and last through 4 or 5 days ago. So he's the logical guy for this game to start, but they could call someone up from AAA. So that's obviously the big question mark there. Nick Martinez, much better than that ERA. He's actually not terrible. I talk a lot about the Reds here, and again, their starting pitchers being the thing that's going to keep them in this season. And Martinez, while the ERA isn't pretty, his underlying metrics, I think he'll be okay. He's not as good as the rest of the starting pitching for the most part, so it's not that he's – I think he's great, but I don't think he's bad. Brito or whatever the Padres are doing will probably be below average. The Reds will probably have an edge at starting pitcher, but of course they won't have an edge on offense or the bullpen or the game location. If it is Brito, we've got the Padres at 59%. But of course, check back in the morning on Dub Club for updates once we actually know who's pitching. Full picks, first five picks, everything that you need over, again, on Dub Club. That link in the show description. Start you off on your free trial. Braves and Mariners, upper 40s. Going to be blowing across. Going to play very, very pitcher friendly in this one. Ronaldo Lopez and Luis Castillo. I'm not sure these guys need the help. This is going to be a massive pitcher's duel if things play out like they should. Braves have a really good offense, but Lopez, according to Sideline, the 11th best pitcher. Castillo, the 21st best pitcher. And of course, the Mariners bullpen can have question marks. That's why the Braves are favored, in my opinion, on this game. Where they should be favored is the fact that they, once they get past Castillo, and that's of course the big question mark here. If Castillo's going 6-7 innings is very different than if he's going five. That Braves offense is really deep. If they can make him work and get him out, getting to the rest of that Mariners bullpen, the Braves should score eventually. Whereas I'm not sure the Mariners are going to do much damage on Lopez or this bullpen. You've heard me talk about Ronaldo Lopez, really good ERA, FIP pretty good, XFIP a little bit higher. Not going to hold up to that ERA, but a very good pitcher. And in fact, according to Sandlin, the better pitcher in this game. And it's not just because, of course, the ERAs this year, we don't really consider that whatsoever. It's just that overall, when you look at what these guys have done historically, Castillo's a very good pitcher, but Ronaldo Lopez is massively underrated. We love us some Ronaldo Lopez here. I think the under makes a lot of sense. Under seven would be fine. Under 7.5 would be great. Models projecting 6.6. But of course, the other thing you have to look at is the Braves, which right now would slightly eke into that A grade threshold of -113, as the current price I'm seeing is -112. So looking at the Braves, looking at the under, love us Ronaldo Lopez, love unders in Seattle. A lot to like and take advantage of in this contest. And then wrapping us up, Pirates and the A's, lower 60s to start, upper 50s to close. We're going to be blowing across or out. That could matter in this game, because if it's more across, this is going to play pretty pitcher friendly. If it's more out, it might play a little bit more like a normal night in Oakland. And that could be the difference between a run projection closer to 8.5 or closer to 8. So just something to keep an eye on there, as that could maybe lean you to a little bit more passing on this hole versus playing it over, depending on exactly what the wind is doing, as we get closer to first pitch. Mitch Keller and Alex Wood. Keller, not as bad as that 5.14 ERA. I've been talking about him all season. Not as good as the best he's had before. I'm not overly concerned. I'm as concerned as I was before. I don't think he's going to be an ace at this point. But his FIP and his XFIP are both in the low fours. I think he'll be very respectable. Alex Wood, on the other hand, while also not as bad as his ERA, his FIP and XFIP in the low fives paint a massive picture of concern. Also of concern, both these offenses. I mentioned this here from Monday's game, right? The Pirates offense has kind of disappeared as of late after a hot start. The A's offense hasn't really shown up all season after they were a surprisingly decent, respectable, not terrible offense last year, has been pretty bad this year. This is all Pirates here for sideline. 59% of the time they win, and we would have an A-grade play at the moment here. -132 is the threshold, and I'm seeing numbers in the -120s right now. So take note of that threshold, shop around. As long as you can beat that -132, be on the Pirates here. No reason to play first five instead of full game. You can play it if you want to in addition as well. But no reason to do it instead, because while the A's bullpen has done really well this year, I still project the Pirates bullpen to be better going forward, so the Pirates don't lose their edge when you get to the late innings. It diminishes a little bit simply because I have zero faith in Alex Wood to be competent. They signed Wood and Stripling, and those two guys have looked drastically different so far for the A's. One of them's competent, one of them's not. And so when you're up against Wood, the A's are a team to fade. When you've got Stripling going, when you got Blackburn going, it's a little bit harder to fade the A's, but when you got one of their weaker starting pitchers, it's hard to find much to like unless the price gets really high. And this price isn't that high on the A's. I know they're at home. I'm not really buying them having much of a home field advantage at this point, given the situation, the fans not showing up, et cetera. They got a travel advantage, but that's about it. And so the Pirates, according to Southern, win this almost 3 out of 5 times. And so anything better than -132 would make a strong Pirates play. That's all 15 games on Tuesday. Again, some starting pitcher updates likely coming on Dub Club, because we haven't confirmed all the starting pitchers. So sign up today if you haven't. Also, you'll get the full set of official picks, exactly where I'm going with these games. If it's an A grade, we've already locked it in, so you should be able to lock those in as well. But the other picks, all the first five picks, are we doing run lines? Are we doing -1s? Are we doing totals? All of that's over on Dub Club. So sign up today if you haven't yet to take advantage, especially of how good the model's doing on its first five. Discord chat group, summaries, all sorts of information. If you're not there yet, again, check it out today. I'll try to make sure it's worth your while. Otherwise, though, as always, best of luck. And remember, you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.